week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African Athletics. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Samuel Tefera, who set a world indoor 1,500 meters world record over the weekend in Birmingham, England. Much of the pre-race spotlight focused on Tefera's Ethiopian countryman, Yomif Kejelcha. But the teenager Tefera took top honors and earned world record glory. The energetic Andy Edwards was trackside in Birmingham, and he has this report on the Muller Indoor Athletics Grand Prix meet.
Yomif Kejelcha has moved to another level this indoor season from what were already excellent performances earlier in his career. The pre-race talk concentrated on whether the Ethiopian could break Hisham El-Garouj's time for the 1500. But when it came to the last 100 metres, it was his fellow countryman, Samuel Tefera, who came up on his shoulder and broke clear to put his name in the record books. The new world indoor record stands at 3 minutes 31.04, and that's over a tenth of a second faster than Morocco's El-Garouj. Tefera is only 19 and won the world indoor title on this very track a year ago. Now, not that Yomif Kejelcha was disgraced to finish second in such a contest. He ran a personal best, and the partnership with coach Alberto Salazar, who once guided Mo Farah's training, is clearly paying dividends.
Yes, my best coach like it. Good training. So I'm very happy for my coach.
Ethiopia also claimed top honours in the women's 3,000 metres, where Alamaz Samuel not only won this race, but made sure of the event title for the World Indoor Tour season. This also guarantees her a wild card entry for the next World Indoor Championships in Nanjing in China next year. Ivory Coast's women sprinters had great success on this track last year, with Muriel Ahure winning the world indoor 60-metre title and Marie-Josée Talu a runner-up. This time, only Talu was competing, and she finished third. That's a good rounding off for her indoor season, while the winner, and almost to her own surprise, was Jamaica's double Olympic sprint champion, Elaine Thompson.
To come back from injury, I'm still grateful to get a season best. I hope an outdoor 7.24, which wasn't a fast time for me, but I'm still grateful. Wasn't expecting a fast time, just went out to execute and see where I'm at right now.
Thompson has struggled with injury for much of the past 2 years, but as for Marie-Josée Talu, it all looks systems go for her and compatriot Muriel Ahure as the outdoor season draws near, culminating in the World Championships in Doha in late September.
I hope so, because, you know, every year is not the same years. And I hope every athlete want to be better than the last year. So we are just going on, and we hope to be better.
Qualifying for any U.S. team for a global championship is always a big challenge. But sprint hurdler Yvonne Britton gave herself a boost with a lifetime best of 7.91 to win the 60-meter hurdles. She'll take that into preparation for the longer event outdoors.
Hurdles is all rhythm, so just getting that rhythm down early and then being able to just work on my strength, I think I'll be good.
The Australian outdoor record for the men's 800 metres had stood for 50 years before Joseph Deng broke it in Monaco last July. The 20-year-old is originally from South Sudan and arrived in Australia as a toddler 16 years ago, having been born in a Kenyan refugee camp after his mother had fled the conflict. Deng is a coming star, and no mistake. He came through to win a ragged 800 metres on the Birmingham boards on Saturday, where Kenya's Cornelius Tuwe fell. His reward was another record, breaking the Oceania mark with 1 minute 47.27.
It's a massive privilege getting the record. That's what we trained for. And after my first race, my coach and I talked, and he knew I could run the time today. So he wanted me to go out real hard. But after that fall, kind of had to slow down a little bit and then restart.
Add in a very impressive win by China's Su Bingqian in the men's 60 metres in the fastest time in the world this year, 6.47, and a national record for Britain's double European champion Laura Muir in the women's mile, and the Müller Indoor Grand Prix more than maintained its reputation for top-class performance. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Elsewhere in African athletics, an 18-year-old Ugandan runner posted a big victory over the weekend, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Jacob Kiplimo has won the Uganda National Cross Country 10 kilometers race. The teenager showed that age is just a number when he peeled away from the title holder and familiar foe Joseph Cheptegei. With about 1,200 meters to go to win in 28 minutes and 56 seconds.
I cannot fear anyone. You know, it's prepared. How are you prepared yourself for training? I cannot fear anyone. As long as you are prepared, yes.
In the famous category, Commonwealth gold medalist Stella Sisang won the women's 10-kilometer race in 33 minutes, 30.6 seconds to beat Rachel Zenat Shebert to second place. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go back to Birmingham, England, where the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with the reigning world and Olympic champion in the women's pole vault. Here's Andy.
I'm with the Olympic champion in the women's pole vault, Katerina Stefanidi of Greece, but long time has been based in the USA, indeed studied in the USA. And we've been just hearing a fascinating talk about biomechanics, not just about the pole vault, but about everything. So Katerina is in competition preparation mode. And I'm just wondering, looking at your life so far, Olympic titles, world titles, European indoor titles, but also you studied in the USA, you did masters in psychology, and does that kind of mind game aspect, has that ever helped you in competition, do you find, or is it just nothing, it's just a parallel life that you've had?
You know, it's funny because I always say it didn't help me because I saw how the research was performed, and I think I had a special inclination for statistics. So, and I think a lot of people do in research, and I think I understood how things work, and they don't always work perfect in research. So a little bit, I was a little hesitant when it came. I studied cognitive psychology, and I studied about memory and how we learn, so not so relevant to sports psychology. So I was a little hesitant about sports psychology altogether because I knew how the research is performed. And not to say that it's performed wrong, but there is a lot of confounding, especially in something like sports psychology where so many things matter. But I will say that my husband, who actually studied more biomechanics, really pushed me towards sports psychology, and I've read very many different books. I do think I think what makes me good is partly my mentality. Did school help me? I don't think so. I think my husband helped me and all the different sports psychology books we've read, and I think all the talks and the way we think now about pole vault, I think those things have helped me a lot. School didn't help me so much because it was just irrelevant information to sport.
Do you feel you were destined to become a pole vaulter and a world-class one? I mean, at school, or were you a little girl, were you running around, or did you specialise early?
It's very easy for me to say yes now with what has happened. I specialized really early. I started pole vaulting at 10 years old, and even before that, I sprinted and I long jumped, and even before that, we just found some baby videos where I'm just starting to walk, and I never actually walk, I run everywhere. So I do think I was destined for sports. I do think I could have done other sports. I think pole vault talent overlaps a little with other. I think I could have been good in tennis, for example. It's explosive, it's fast, upper body and lower body. So I think there could have been other sports I could have been good at. So I don't want to say I was destined to be a pole vaulter. I don't believe in those things. I think it's all luck.
How does this indoor season and the Müller Indoor Games, how does that fit in with its World Championship year? You hope to be defending your title. those championships in Doha a little later than normal. I mean, it's September. So have you and Mitch Correa, your husband and also your coach, have you had to plan the whole year differently?
Not so much. Last year we competed until, I think it was September 10th. So it will go almost 3 weeks later this year, but I don't think it's that different. I keep joking that we're lucky because the women's pole vault is still in September, whereas most events are in October, actually. We will take a little bit of a bigger break between indoor and outdoor. Usually we take 1 week or 10 days. I think we will definitely push it to 2 weeks. But we're not doing things so much different because of the different programming. We have changed some things every year, really. I mean, I am getting a little older, and I think it's very important to follow the advances of science in terms of training. And I think this is why I have been much healthier this year than I was last year. We have made a lot of changes in the way we do our power training and our lifting, and I think this will actually prolong my career.
The Holy Grail for women vaulting, of course, is 5 meters, and there's Yelena Sinbaeva, now retired, up there. I mean, you're getting close, 4 meters 91 and 4 meters 90, outdoors and indoors. I think with what you've achieved in terms of medals, you must feel that one day you're going to join that 5 meter club.
You know, I never, even from a really young age, I was never very motivated by height. I wanted to go in a competition and win. And I joked going into Rio that if it takes 460 to win, I'll be plenty happy. I would say we continue with that mindset. I think pole vault is slowly getting a little better, so I think we will have to get to those 5 meter and even higher than 5 meter jumps soon to be able to win medals in the big championships. But I think what has made me successful is my consistency in those 485 jumps. Those 485 jumps, with the exception of Birmingham here last year, I think have always given a gold medal. So for me, it's much more important that I can make that every day, and especially every day in the championship, than making 5 meter once and the next day jumping 460.
Well, Katarina, all the best for the indoor season. It's coming to an end, but also that World Championship defence, all being well, in Doha in, as you say, September.
Yeah.
You're one of the early birds. Katarina Stefanidi, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Katarina Stefanidi, the reigning world and Olympic champion in the women's pole vault. Katarina finished fourth among the women at the Muller Indoor Grand Prix in Birmingham, where she reached a height of 4.71 meters. Local favorite Holly Bradshaw of Britain was the winner of the women's pole vault in Birmingham with a height of 4.81 meters. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at some of the weekend highlights in European club football. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Manchester City averted an FA Cup upset after cruising to a 4-1 victory over fourth-tier side Newport County at the Rodney Parade Stadium in South Wales. Goals from Leroy Sané, Phil Foden, and Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez clinched a place in the quarterfinals for the Premier League champions, who struggled to impose their usual attacking game on a pitch that contained more mud than grass in many places. Brighton reached the quarterfinals for the second year in a row after beating second-tier Derby 2-1. While Championship side Millwall overcame FC Wimbledon 1-0. Etienne Capoue has finished on the stroke of half-time, sent Watford to the FA Cup quarter-finals for the second time in 4 seasons after a hard-fought win against battling Queen Park Rangers. Wolves also reached the quarter-finals for the first time since 2003 with a hard-fought 1-0 win over Bristol City at Ashton Gate, while Swansea advanced with a 4-1 victory over 10-man Brentford after Dan James inspired an amazing second-half comeback.
Prince, still with the FA Cup, Chelsea is hosting Manchester United on this Monday evening at Stamford Bridge in a fifth-round match. How's this one shaping up, Prince?
Yes, Sonny, a lot is actually going to be at stake tonight as the two giants clash. United will definitely be without Jesse Lingard and Antoine Martial. We're going to be out because of injury, while fullbacks Matteo Darmian and Antoine Valencia will also remain sidelined. As for Chelsea, both Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Marcus Alonso could return for the must-win fixture for Chelsea's manager Sarri, who's under pressure after the 6-0 demolition by champions Manchester City last week. There's also some hope and good news for Chelsea fans, and they'll really be excited to hear this. Stamford Bridge is a notoriously hard place for Manchester United to win. The Red Devils have only won twice there since 2002, and they've also lost 14 out of their past 22 visits at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea could also become the first team to eliminate Manchester United in 5 consecutive FA Cup meetings.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at some of the highlights from the weekend in European club football. Prince, any news from the French league?
There's plenty of news, Sonny. French Benjamin of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe hit a superb second-half winner as Paris Saint-Germain triumphed 1-0 at Saint-Etienne to go 12 points clear at the top of the French league. The 20-year-old French sensation registered his 19th goal of the season with a delightful volley in the 73rd minute. Second place Lille, who have played 2 more games, were also held goalless at home by Montpellier. Nabil Fekir and Olympique Lyon a 2-1 home win against Guingamp as they cemented third place in the French league ahead of their Champions League clash against Barcelona. Saint-Etienne are now fifth on 40 points.
Prince, let's move to Spain. I see Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi scored his 30th goal of the season, and Barcelona is now 7 points clear at the top of La Liga. Prince, any updates on Barcelona's UEFA Champions League tie against Lyon?
Yes, Sonny. Barcelona will travel to the Groupama Stadium to face Lyon on Tuesday in the first leg of the Champions League last 16, with the La Liga giants looking to extend their unbeaten run in the competition this season. Sonny, some good news for Barcelona fans. French centre-back of Cameroonian descent Samuel Umtiti has recovered from a knee injury in time to join the Barcelona squad. Barcelona are coming into this match after topping their group after victories against Tottenham Hotspur, Inter Milan and PSV Eindhoven, and they will be targeting a similar result as they try to bring an end to Real Madrid's 3-year domination of Europe's biggest tournament. They'll also come up against a Lyon side who took 4 points from a possible 6 against Manchester City in their group stages. The French league side will certainly not be prepared to roll over for their opponents. The two sides have met 6 times in the past, but their most recent meeting came at this stage of the Champions League in 2009 after 1-1 draw in the first leg, but Barcelona actually stormed to a 5-2 victory at the Camp Nou thanks to goals from the likes of Thierry Henry, Samuel Eto'o and Lionel Messi. Liverpool will also resume their Champions League campaign with a tantalizing tie against German giants Bayern Munich at Anfield on Tuesday night, while Atletico Madrid takes on Juventus on Wednesday, with Xhaka hosting Manchester City on the same day. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing
The National Basketball Association has celebrated its best players in a high-scoring All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors was named the most valuable player of the All-Star contest. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Kevin Durant won the All-Star MVP honors for a second time in his career thanks to scoring a team-high 31 points. Durant's shooting game helped Team LeBron close a 20-point deficit to defeat Team Giannis 178-164. In his post-game news conference, Durant said winning the MVP title is just as sweet the second time around.
It's all sweet to me. I mean, it's hard to rank. You know, everything's special. But it's cool to be out there with some of the best players that ever played a game, and to win an MVP in front of my family and friends is pretty sweet. So I just try to keep racking them up, I guess.
Team Giannis lost despite holding a 13-point lead at halftime. Team captain Giannis Antetokounmpo was the lead scorer in the first half and finished with a game high of 38 points. Afterwards, Giannis, who has roots in Nigeria, said he was sure he would become the first international player to win the MVP title.
You know, I was just trying to, you know, play hard, have fun. You know, previously, my first and second All-Star, I think I was kind of nervous. This one I was a little bit more relaxed. You know, I had my name in the MVP until the third quarter. They got hard, they took it away from me. But at the end of the day, I had fun, my family had fun. And it's just a great experience.
Team captain LeBron James made his 15th All-Star appearance on Sunday. And ahead of the exhibition game, the three-time NBA champion said it still means a lot to be recognized as one of the best players in the league.
To be able to start, be recognized as one of the best players in this league, it means a lot. I mean, these are the fans that voted me in as All-Star starter. You guys had a lot to do with it as the media.
LeBron is now tied for the third most selections in league history behind former L.A. Lakers players Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kobe Bryant. And Sonny, I have to mention a big announcement that was made on the eve of the All-Star game. The NBA announced it is set to launch a basketball league in Africa. The NBA will form the Basketball Africa League in partnership with FIBA, the sport's international governing body. FIBA Africa's executive director said history has been made on the African continent and said, quote, "We're excited to work closely with the NBA to develop and put in place a professional league like none that we have ever seen in our region before." Former U.S. President Barack Obama is also expected to have hands-on involvement with the league. And in a tweet, President Obama wrote, "I've always loved basketball because it's about building a team that's equal to more than the sum of its parts. Glad to see this expansion into Africa because for a rising continent, this can be about a lot more than what happens on the court." The NBA has been heavily invested in Africa over the years, but this marks the first time the league will have direct involvement in the operation of a league outside North America. And while there are already several professional teams across Africa, the Basketball Africa League plans to unify them into one place, with financial support and training provided by FIBA and the NBA. The new league will see 12 teams compete from countries across Africa. Qualifying tournaments will determine which nations make the cut. And sports fans, you can look forward to the Basketball Africa League's first season, expected to begin in January 2020. Big, big news, and I'll have more news in the days to come. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Big news indeed. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Getting back to the All-Star Game, the 2020 NBA All-Star Game will be played in Chicago. And as part of the 2019 All-Star festivities, former Chicago Bulls star Michael Jordan, now the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, presented an honorary basketball to the city of Chicago. Meanwhile, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver decided to include Dwayne Wade and the German Dirk Nowitzki as honorary selections to this year's All-Star Game. Both Wade and Nowitzki are expected to retire at the end of this season. And that wraps up the February 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Joe Gill. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily report when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello friends, this is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me this Monday for an exciting edition of your show. Our topic will be African beauty. This will be Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the results of the February 16th Nigerian presidential and National Assembly elections. What concerns and issues swayed the voters the most? An in-depth discussion on the Nigerian elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Tuesday on Health Chat, we will discuss measles, as some countries around the world are grappling with the disease. Our guest is Dr. Vincent Sojunu, incident manager with the World Health Organization in Madagascar. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
A team of scientists found evidence that the topography of the mantle transition zone, a layer of Earth's composition that lies between the upper and lower mantle layers, is similar to mountains that can be found on the surface. The international group of researchers studied data from a powerful earthquake in Bolivia and discovered there are mountains and other topographical features located about 660 kilometers straight below our feet. They added that many areas of the mantle transition zone are rougher in nature and that a number of these subterranean mountains may be bigger than what can be found on Earth's surface. Writing in a recent edition of the journal Science, the scientists say they made their findings after analyzing seismic wave data produced by a Category 8.2 earthquake that rocked the South American country in 1994. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.